You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome to Just Women with me, Ivana O'Brien, introducing more interviews recorded remotely by myself and fellow presenter Jackie Mitchell. Jackie spoke to Anna Tompkins, who started her business during the pandemic, creating workbooks giving prompts and advice on how to manage life. I spoke to Anita Ferron-Clark, a multi-award-winning personal stylist. But firstly, here is my interview with Kathy Knight, a HR consultant and recruitment agent, who offers a variety of services to support not only companies in finding the best candidates, but also employees in finding the right jobs. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the show. Thanks very much for coming on and speaking to us. It's always nice for listeners to know a little bit about someone's career background. So tell us what you've done before.
Okay, so I spent 15 years working for a large corporate recruitment company. So when they're fresh out of university, I studied marketing and decided to go get a job in marketing, but went to a recruitment agency and they snatched me up and asked me if I'd, you know, be interested in working for them. It ticked a lot of boxes for me. I love working with people. I've always enjoyed kind of talking to people, making new relationships, that kind of thing. And actually recruitment was going to do that, but there were also marketing elements to it. You're basically marketing the person. So I spent 15 years in lots of different roles working for a company called the Adecco Group. And then after I had my second daughter, I decided that actually I didn't want to be that mum that was never at school gates dropping the kids off, never, you know, there to pick them up or able to attend kind of events and things like that. So along with a friend of mine, someone I went to school with but had also worked with, we decided to set up our own recruitment company and work from our homes and be able to get a better work-life balance. So we set about doing that and created a business called, at the time, ISME Recruitment. It's had a rebrand to ISME People since then, but created a business that was growing steadily. We're fitting it sort of around our lifestyles as working mums when the pandemic hit. So that kind of changed things quite considerably. So our business fell off a cliff overnight. So I think we'd had conversations a few weeks before thinking, right, things are starting to get easier. We can earn a regular salary. You know, things are going really well. And then, you know, who would have known that we'd all be hit with a pandemic? So overnight, our business just kind of, we have clients just really cancelling vacancies, withdrawing offers to candidates and having to deliver that means to candidates who'd already handed the notice in somewhere else is very difficult. But we were both thrown into homeschooling. So both having children of school age, we were then in a situation of being teachers at home and not really knowing whether we were going to be paid any money at that point. Thankfully, furlough did come through for us and we were able to get some kind of income, albeit quite small. But we both took probably about 4 months to just be kind of parents and teachers and that kind of thing and juggle with that. So I had two that were preschool age and one that was year two at the time, so last year of infants. And it was just kind of survival mode, I feel. I wasn't one of those that kind of really enjoyed lockdown and kind of like having this family time. My husband's a gardener, so he was out working every day. Life continued as normal to a degree for him, still getting that leaving the house and, you know, getting that fresh air and things like that, that, you know, at that point, I think it was your one walk a day that you were allowed. So continued like that until the summer hit. And I think clients called, said they were hiring again. And I was like, amazing. This is like brilliant. We are back. You know, we're back. We've ridden the wave and we're going to start, you know, kind of building back again. So we had a couple of placements that we made for candidates at that point. And then I was thinking when September comes, once the school holidays are done and the schools are going back again, we'll be, you know, back and it will feel like we're getting back to normal again. But September came and it just felt very quiet and not a lot going on. And I kind of was at the point of thinking, I don't know how to get my motivation back. I feel like this has been such a difficult time that I've lost, you know, the momentum kind of thing. So at that point, I joined a networking group that had lots of online networking sessions you could dip in and out of as you please. And it was quite really well priced, actually, something called the Cobra Club. And I attended lots of different meetings each week, fitted them around, you know, my life and things that I needed to do, made lots of great contacts through that time. And even if it wasn't like contacts that I was getting business from, it was just that kind of that community and having people who were also business owners who were going through similar challenges, who understood the way I felt and perhaps could, you know, lift me and help me kind of out of that hole I felt like I was in. And that was brilliant. And I remained a member of that for a year. Well, business had got so busy that I then had to kind of come out of it. But yeah, so things did recover, but it took a lot longer, I think, than I thought. And we were obviously hit with another lockdown and schools closing again following January, which then had another knock-on effect. But I used the time to, my business partner left the business during that time. So she left in November 2020. And I then took the time to think, right, what do I want this business to be? And that was really, because at that point we were servicing lots of different clients, whether they were big corporates or small companies. We were just taking anything on, really. And actually, I took time to think about the clients I really enjoy working with are those small growing businesses that are like, you know, in a way like myself. They might be, you know, bigger than us. You know, some of them have got 100 and plus employees, but they're small to medium sized companies that won't have their own big recruitment team. And they want a true partner, someone who can come and really understand their culture, their values, their mission, and make sure that that flows through to anyone they're hiring. So I always say I help to help businesses to scale through the right people. And that's very much what I like to do, is find the right talent. I'm a people person. I love matching the right person with the right business. And that there's nothing like that buzz when you get that right. And then that's why I've done it for 20 years.
Do you think it's currently an employee-led market? In other words, there's not enough supply but a lot of demand.
Yeah. So it's a difficult time at the moment. I think the pandemic has left us in a position where we have currently more jobs on the market than we do candidates. And there are a number of reasons for that. So there's been what they call the great kind of reassessment during COVID. So lots of people taking that time to change careers, to upskill, to use that time to learn different skills and change into a different path. You've had lots of people that have decided in that time to take early retirement. People that thought, actually, you know, I've enjoyed this, we've managed our money, and actually I'm gonna, you know, take some time back now, and life's too short. I think that's been a message that's come out of it for everybody. You've got lots of people with long COVID and long-term sick, you know, it's people that have, you know, really struggled with anxiety throughout the pandemic. They're still not necessarily back in the workplace at the moment. We also had Brexit that, you know, was happening around the same sort of time, that has taken labour out of the workforce that were filling some of those jobs before, that now may be filled by other people. And there's a real skill shortage. I think there's people, and part of that, you know, I think the young people coming through. So I did a lot last year with the government's Kickstart scheme. So helping young people get into employment. And I not only helped clients to kind of navigate the whole application process and then the hiring process, so I helped them to find those people. I then mentored those individuals for the 6 months that they were working in that organisation. So making sure they got a really good start into employment and had someone else who was kind of, you know, looking after them, and they could felt they could talk to and things like that. And we also covered all the employability stuff, so making sure they were really confident with interviews and writing a really good CV. So if after the 6 months there was no permanent opportunity, they then had a really good kind of grounding to go and get another job. And I think, you know, the government's Kickstart scheme had lots of problems in the sense of the actual way that you hired and it being quite slow and all of those sorts of things. But once you've got that person, I think it's such a great scheme, because there's been always been a gap that I have seen in my 20 years in recruitment of people leaving education and then going into employment, and employers wanting a year, a 2 year experience, even at an entry level role. And what I've been encouraging a lot of my clients to do lately is to think outside the box. So recently we had a first line IT support role, and they were looking for somebody who had a couple of years experience and had been looking themselves for 6 months before they came to me. And I said to them, look, we really need to think about somebody here who's perhaps, you know, wanting to move into this field but has the right customer service experience that you're looking for. And the guy we ended up recruiting, he'd worked in contact centers, and during the pandemic had set up his own window cleaning business. So he was doing that, but at the same time had been training in various kind of computer IT support kind of courses, but wanted his first opportunity. They interviewed him, offered him on the spot. He started about 2 weeks ago, and the feedback I've had is absolutely amazing. And those sorts of things are the things that I think employers need to be doing at the moment. They need to be offering people an opportunity. A person's, you know, personality and the way they are and their work ethic is the most important thing. Everything else is trainable.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I always say to people as well, is that even if you don't feel that you can hit all their skills, you probably offer other things that they that are on the list. So just go for it. What have you got to lose? But they just, they feel that they've got to go through that tick box thing. I haven't got that, but I have got that. I haven't got that, but I have got that. Therefore, oh, move on to the next vacancy. I won't even bother to apply for that. But they should.
You lose people. And there's that fact around, that stat that I often quote around men will apply for a job if they can do 60% of the job description. A woman wants to feel she could do 100% before she's confident to apply. So you are, you know, technically, if you make your job spec really, really long and you need all of these things, but actually, you know, you're prepared to sacrifice some of that and it's not as important and you can train them. But you're stopping those people applying because there's that confidence thing, you know, and that can be worse, you know, when women have taken time out to have children and they're going back into the employment market. So it's really key that employers more than ever at the moment are thinking about those things, although I feel that that's something that is always important and sometimes not thought through enough. But yeah.
I know that you also offer interviewing prep for employers, because again, people that go for an interview assume that the employers are really good at interviewing, but they're not necessarily good at interviewing, are they?
No. And I've even stood in for clients before and given them my time and carried out the interviews with them, because sometimes if it's a smaller business, there may only one person available to do that interview. And if for anyone that's ever interviewed, it's really hard to do the talking and be making the notes at the same time. And often you want to discuss a candidate with someone, particularly if you've had three excellent candidates in front of you and you're making that difficult decision, it's good to have somebody else to kind of bounce your ideas off of. So I've done that sort of thing for clients as well. I also do DISC profiling, so behaviour profiling around like looking at somebody's behaviours, because employers can often want to recruit somebody who's like them. But actually, often what they want them to do, particularly if it's at that point that you're starting to take on your first few members of staff, you need that person to do the bits that you don't want to do. But yet you recruit someone because you like them, because you meet them and you think, oh, they're like me, I could go to the pub with you, we get on and things like that. But that's not necessarily who you want. My first Kickstarter is totally that I took on for my own business, totally the opposite to me. And when I first met him, I thought, I don't think he's exactly what I need. But then I came away from it and just thought, have a word with yourself, Cathy. This is the stuff you tell your clients and you're doing exactly the same. And he has been one of the best hires I've made in my, you know, 20 years of kind of managing people and hiring teams. So he's so loyal. He's so committed. He's brilliant with detail and some of the stuff that I, you know, I'm quite one of those people who's an ideas person, and then I'm on to the next idea and I can create ideas and create momentum around things, but then I'm not a completed finisher sometimes with all that. I need someone in my team that can do that for me and make sure I keep on track of those things.
So you touched on the profiling behaviours thing, so tell us a bit about what the talent plans thing is. You help draw up talent plans.
Yeah, so that's also about looking at your existing workforce. So we can often bring people in and then they're doing a good job and we're not really thinking about what the long-term plan is for those people, and that they therefore, you know, they've done a year, 2 years in the role and think there's nowhere for me to go and I'm going to kind of leave. And even in a small organisation, you can sometimes think, oh, well, there's nowhere for them to go because the next, you know, opportunity would be my job. But there's always ways that you can be evolving and training and learning, you know, the bits of the job that they really enjoy doing, and using, you know, whether it's external training providers to upskill them. I always say you need to make your team better than you. You know, a good manager makes their employees better than they are. I mean, I've seen examples in my career of people who have micromanaged and not wanted to give their staff any kind of level of authority or you know, let them know how to do everything, because that put their own job at risk. But it doesn't. And there's always, you know, other opportunities and different ways you can go. So, yeah, I think it's important that, you know, we can spend a lot of time on hiring the right talent in the first place, but do nothing with them once they start. And that's another thing that I've started to work on some of my smaller clients with, is mentoring those individuals in the first 12 months of their role. Because I saw it through Kickstarter when I had employers who were perhaps taking on their first employee, they're so busy doing all the doing in their business that although they know they should be setting clear objectives, they should be, you know, having a clear induction plan, they should be sitting down and reviewing those KPIs and objectives on a monthly basis, it can fall down at times. So another service that we started developing this year is around actually offering kind of a service where we mentor those individuals. And I do that for, I'm almost an extra pair of eyes and ears for smaller business owners. So that's another part to our service as well.
Well, sadly, Kathy, we run out of time. I could talk to you all day. And I can tell by your voice how passionate you are about what you do, which is fantastic. So you're obviously doing a great job. If you could offer the listeners one piece of advice in relation to job hunting, what would that be?
I would say keep learning. And if you're unhappy in a job, just move on. It's never too late to change your career and move into a different career. Don't be held back by, but I've always done this and I don't know that, but I always fancy giving that a go. Life's too short, but the last couple of years have shown us all that. So definitely, if you're unhappy, move on.
Thank you so much, Kathy. That was Kathy Knight from ismepeople.co.uk with some really useful advice. I was struck by how passionate Kathy is about what she does, and she's obviously making a difference, so keep up the good work, Kathy. Stay with us, as after our ad break, Jackie speaks to Anna Tompkins about her innovative workbooks.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
This is an urgent appeal from the Disasters Emergency Committee. Hundreds of thousands of people have fled their homes to escape conflict in Ukraine, leaving jobs, belongings and loved ones behind. They need shelter, food and water. You can help. To donate online, search DEC or text RADIO to 70150 to give £10. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Saturday and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays to meet your immediate medical needs? Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us.
If you love film music of all kinds, then Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Brit Flicks is the show for you. Every Thursday, escape into the exciting world of the movies with soundtracks that transport you right into the films. From special shows dedicated to legendary composers to theme shows dedicated to different genres, you can hear a mixture of classic themes as well as well-known songs that feature in films. So, all you film fans, be sure to catch Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Brit Flicks with me, Suzanne Hunter, every Thursday at 9 p.m, only on Brooklyn's Radio.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back. And now, here is Jackie's interview with Anna Tompkins.
I'm pleased to welcome to the show Anna Tompkins from Handbook for Today. Hello there, Anna, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me.
And welcome to the Just Women show. So before we find out all about Handbook for Today, it'd be really interesting to find out a bit about your background.
Yeah, so I am an entrepreneur have done several different things. I started my career in finance, which was actually not what I do today, but it was really, really quite interesting to do that. And the reason I did was I did a consulting role and I looked at lots of different companies, always being interested in getting a bit of a bird's eye view, how do companies work? And really loved that. And then worked in a venture capital firm, again, looking at startups more from a financial view, where are the markets and where are interesting new things, what do consumers want? And I always really liked seeing how people got together and build their own companies, eventually joining a team, doing more something I was passionate about, working in a perfume company, doing celebrity fragrances. So I've got a really quite varied background and had amazing chances to see lots of different businesses. Then doing a fashion tech startup where I set up a virtual wardrobe business. So I have been in fashion also. But what always has been driving me was creating something and doing something that is of value for people. I've unfortunately had to shut down my fashion business. But what happened then was... quickly after, so it was the end of 19, the pandemic hit.
Yes, and so are you actually from the UK?
I am German originally. I met my husband in London. That was 10 years ago. I was a tourist. My sister used to live here.
Oh, really?
And, okay. And I moved to, I used to live in Munich in Germany. I moved to the UK 8 years ago. So I traveled back and forth and then started coming, came here to beautiful London, really loving it in the UK. So okay. I've got two little girls also that I brought up in the middle of my startups. And when the pandemic hit, I had to homeschool my then 5-year-old, which was actually a blessing in disguise because it did let me give myself a break from all things career, really focusing on each day at hand. And at the other time, it was really quite tricky for us as every other family. Every person had their own things they had to get through. But I thought, hang about, we kind of surviving this, but we should be hoping to do better than just muddling through the days and every day looks like the other day. How am I not losing out on memories? We can't really do holidays, we can't really go out much, but still there are so many wonderful moments that I have with my daughters despite lockdown, despite being worried about things that might or might not happen.
Of course. Well, if I could just jump in here, so how did you actually come up with the concept for Handbook for Today?
So I was looking for a tool really to help me guide myself through the day and get myself into a more positive mindset. And I've been looking online a bit. I've been coming across gratitude journals and thought, generally, I really like that idea of writing down what I'm grateful for, but it didn't kind of go deep enough of what I've been seeing that was out there, just kind of jotting down some bullets of gratitude. I can really take a blank piece of paper. I don't need to, or kind of some piece of stationery. That is all nice and well, and that might work for a lot of people, but I wanted to really do something that kind of digs a bit deeper. And also what made me do it is my general interest in self-development. So when I've got two older sisters and they've been, one of my sisters is 6 years older. So when she was like 18, 19 years old, she started reading these Dale Carnegie books about like how to thrive in life and these other things. And I was really very interested. So I was like 12 or 13 at the time. But I really was kind of sucking all this information in. I was always fascinated by positive psychology, by self-development, by self-improvement. And I realized I've read all these books, but there's nothing that makes me put this into the daily life.
Yes. So if we can just say that these are workbooks that you've created, which give prompts and advice on how to manage life. So could you perhaps give us some examples? I know that they include things like the daily gratitude journal and tick lists of positive daily micro habits. Can you tell us some of the micro habits?
Absolutely. So one thing to really give actionable advice in these books and workbooks is to give prompts of positive habits. And I was very, very careful choosing ones that I knew pretty much 95% of people can do. It starts with very simple ones like to smile. This is many of those are actually, when you read them, they seem quite obvious. And yes, nevertheless, yes. We still might forget in our busy lives to just take some time or connect with nature. And this doesn't need to be a big deal. We don't need to even go into a park. We can connect with nature in just taking time to maybe just for a few seconds looking at a house plant or watering a plant or even enjoy a piece of fruit we're having. Just kind of these things that make us human and not just kind of robots and trying to get things done. Just there are a lot of habits serving us in the sense of making us more mindful. So just this stopping for a second, always having in mind that people do have busy lives, and this shouldn't put more pressure on someone. It should take the pressure out. Just giving these little reminders of living a tiny bit of more mindful life, putting a smile on your face, and having different, we call them pillars in your life, satisfied. So what we need to be content people is, we need to be happy in ourselves. We need to have a good connection to others. Our body and mind are strongly connected, so we need to look after these two.
Of course. And so how does the book actually help people then? How does it benefit people?
So the sheer act of journaling has a positive result. So there's a lot of research that journaling helps us to rewrite our story. The gratitude definitely helps people to think of the positive in the evening. So our journal has a 2 minute in the morning section and a 3 minute in the evening section, roughly speaking. So in the morning, you write down your what you're grateful for, but also what could you do to make this day great, or what would I wish for this day? So really kind of be planning our day a bit, or having good hopes for the day. So that sets us up for, oh, hey, I've got this day in front of me. How in my little ways can I make this happen for myself? So this is an example. And then in the evening, someone would write down what was amazing today, or an obstacle I've overcome, to really strengthen the confidence. Look at a day from kind of a positive outlook, kind of force yourself a little bit really to look at what was good, and override negative thoughts. So it's very much designed to get the user out of the zone of possibly a bit of a negative start in the day, to override whatever we have, whatever negative thoughts we have in our heads.
Okay, and also I see that there are weekly reflective pages for personal growth. What are those exactly?
Indeed. So we give our user a mood tracker to just jot down, okay, how have I been feeling at the beginning of the week, and how am I feeling now? Did I catch up on my habits? Did I do a good job? And it's not about constant improvement, but a little check-in with yourself. Also, this page is really there for the user to just take some time out and do a bit of self-care, really reflect a bit, as it says. Also think about some worries. So there's a little bit of worry management in there. This is a journal that started in the pandemic, when a worry was everywhere, I think. Yes. And hope that has lifted, but I mean, life is complicated.
Indeed.
And and there are not that many tools to help through this. And even with a relative good mental health, there can be always done a little bit more, and understanding the worries and starting to tackle those and getting ideas how to tackle those worries.
And what's very interesting about this is, in this digital age, it's interesting that this is an actual handbook that people write with a pen rather than something online.
Yes, so that was really important to me. I'm quite a haptical person, so the touch of and feel was really important to me. And again, there's research that our own handwriting is really important for us to kind of memorize things better. So the sheer act of writing helps us to kind of see it better in front of us. So typing doesn't have the same effect. It was really important for me that these handbooks will be a big stack, and they will, I mean, it's a 15-week kind of course, if you want to call it a course. Not everyone does it daily, so you could do it kind of spread out a bit more. It's undated because, again, there's no pressure to fill that in every day. It's an option.
Sure. And what sort of feedback have you had to the book?
Oh, I mean, lovely feedback. I'm really, really excited. So this is our third edition we're having out now. We actually changed a little bit because we very much listened to our users, what they wanted more of, what they thought they don't need that much. But we had, I mean, one of the most touching feedback I had was from someone who had family or has family in Ukraine. And that was several weeks ago. And they have been written that the journal helped them very much for their mental health. And I was very, very touched that I that our product could be supportive for what must been a really, really difficult time.
Of course, of course. And now, of course, you've launched a new book, which is Handbook for Getting Hitched. Why did you decide there was a market for that?
Handbook for Getting Hitched comes from a little bit of a different angle, but I really, really love that workbook so much. It's a set of two workbooks, and it's for engaged couples to chat about their future together. The reason being is I've been doing something similar before I got married to my husband. That came in a very simple form. It was it came from the Church of England, and that's not everyone's cup of tea, and many people don't get married in church. I thought it's such a waste not kind of giving this to couples who want to tie the knot or to not necessarily want to get married but want to live their lives together, to have a set of workbooks to go through important questions that will pop up later in life. So much focus these days is on the wedding day, and it is very exciting, and there's so much to organize, but they're hopefully these many years after, and things will pop up and questions will be there. And many couples, of course, talk about the future, but there might be kind of some touchy-feely topics that are really quite tricky to bring up over dinner and just go, okay, where do we want to live later in life? But that's maybe not that difficult a topic. But then when it comes to planning children or finances, how are we doing mortgages and stuff like that? Are we going to have shared accounts? I think some people shy away from sitting together and working through these things, but also bigger things like sharing values and what makes us strong as a couple. That's all kind of really condensed in these two books. And again, these are books to keep, to actually go back to. So we have fun questionnaires in there, and we can, I mean, it's a bit like in these young women's magazines when you go, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think your partner prefers a camping holiday to a sunny holiday? So it's also light and fun. It's not
it must really help people, you know, with it, not only then with their wedding plans, but also going forward. So I'm terribly sorry we've now run out of time, but thank you so much for coming and telling us all about this. Would you like to give us your website details so people can get more information?
Absolutely. So our website detail is handbookfortoday.com. And we also have an Instagram at handbookfortoday. There's also a little freebie if people would like to download some positive habits. We'd happily provide you with those.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Pleasure.
That was Anna Tompkins from Handbook for Today.
What a great resource to help people deal with the many things that life throws at us. Please stay with us, because after our ad break, I'll be talking to Anita Ferron-Clark.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hello, my name is Johnny Killams, and I run two choirs in Elmbridge in Surrey, and I am organising a fundraising concert for refugees. And it will feature six local choirs. We will have two soloists from the incredible Yehudi Menuhin School in Cobham. Tickets can be purchased really easily via the Ticket Source website. Do is search the choir Walton Voices. If you'd like to be part of that amazing evening, then please, please, please do come along on Sunday, the 3rd of July at 5 p.m, ACS School in Cobham. Hope to see you there.
Sound familiar? With more people working at home and less time to worry about our posture, it's unsurprising that back and neck pain, migraines and sciatica are all on the rise. Luckily, there's somewhere that's got your back. West Chiropractic in West Byfleet prides itself on being a practice helping people from Surrey and beyond with enthusiasm, experience and expertise. With plenty of five-star reviews, it's a place you truly can trust. Book a free discovery visit now to speak with one of their expert chiropractors and find out how to move forward with a programme tailored to your situation. Visit them online at westchiropractic.co.uk.
Hello, my name's Sarah Chaplin, and every Thursday night I host a show called Jazz London Live at 10 o'clock until midnight, and each week I play a selection of jazz, funk, fusion and Latin. I feature an interview in the first hour of the show with somebody on the British jazz scene, a gig guide rounding up the gigs in the week to come, and in the second hour of the show there's Album of the Week, in which I play three tracks from a brand new album that's just come out, and also a long track in the second hour of the show to help you wind down to bedtime on a Thursday evening. It gets a bit more mellow towards the end of the show. So if you love jazz, you're going to love this show, Jazz London Live on Brooklyn's Radio. If you're not sure whether you like jazz, give it a try. You might find there's some tracks in there that you really love.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women. For our final interview, here I am chatting with Anita Ferron-Clark. Welcome, Anita. Before we dive into what you're currently doing, it's always nice to let the listeners know a little bit about your career history. So what's brought you to this point?
Oh, thank you, Ivana. Well, I've been in the fashion industry for 26 years and I had to take a new career direction because I had two young children and my previous job was just untenable with two little toddlers knocking around. So I've basically been a clothing buyer for 12 years with Marks & Spencer and Austin Reed. And then I taught at the London College of Fashion for 3 years and I taught the science of colour. And I'm a bit of a colour geek. I love colour. And then I also set up my own business, Ferron-Clark Style, which is an image consultancy business, which I've now been running for 13 years. So I set up the business primarily to be able to work from home, have more flexible hours because my two children were quite young. And I wanted to be around for them, but also keep my foot in and do a job that I'm absolutely passionate about, which is helping women feel good and look fabulous every day.
Great. What a great way to sum that up.
So, kicking
all this off then, what is the psychology behind colour? Because people might say, what does that mean when you say that? What is that?
Well, when we think about colour psychology, it's about how colour can profoundly affect your mood, your energy levels, your posture, how confident you are. It also has a big impact on your self-esteem. And there is so much science behind this. It's not something that's fake news or something that has been made up. It is scientifically proven that colour has a direct correlation to energy and mood.
And so I know that obviously in the sort of last sort of 10, 20 years, there was that organisation called Colour Me Beautiful. Is this a part of what you do as well, or is it a separate sort of strand from that?
Absolutely. I mean, Colour Me Beautiful have been in the UK now for 40 years, and I am actually trained with them. But just to say, they are the UK's leading image consultants. What they don't know about colour isn't worth knowing. But if I go back to where colour theory begins from, it actually started back in the 1920s by a very fine young gentleman called Albert Mansell. And he found a way of measuring colour that works very, very effectively. And that Mansell system of measuring colour is what Colour Me Beautiful use in this day and age to measure colour to. So as part of my training as a buyer, back in the day, so back in the 90s, I was trained in the Mansell system, or if you like, the Colour Me Beautiful system of measuring colour. So it's very accurate and it's worldwide, you know, it's recognised worldwide.
Yeah. So does it work on the four seasons still, summer, winter, autumn, spring, different colours?
Interestingly, it doesn't, because if you think about seasons, there are four. So now when we look at analysing an individual's colour, we can be more specific, because with the Mansell system, there's actually six categories of colour women fall into. So these are light and deep, warm and cool, and clear and soft. So you can be a little bit more accurate. And it's amazing how many women aren't quite sure what their colour is. They have this visual picture of what they think they are, but more often than not, they're actually wrong.
Wow, it's interesting. And it is, it's totally what you say. You can meet someone on some days and they look totally vibrant and really well, and other days you see them and they do look sort of as if they're tired. And I'm sure that's associated partly to what they're wearing, isn't it?
Absolutely, because the colour that you wear directly under your chin can make you look healthier, younger, fitter, or can make you look washed out, off colour, make your skin look grey. Because the light from colour reflects upwards. And if you wear the right colour that's right for your undertone, your value and your chroma, you look amazing. Without having anything invasive done, you cannot look any better.
That's amazing. And it's true, isn't it, that you can start off being one colour or one palette, and then over the years, as the menopause kicks in and other sort of things happen in your life, where you change your hair colour, you can become a different colour, can't you?
It's true. I mean, without us buying hair dye or going to the hairdressers and voluntarily changing our hair colour, there are three massive hormone surges in a woman's life which can change their colouring. And those three surges are known as the three Ps: puberty, pregnancy and perimenopause. So without us even trying, we could fundamentally change our colouring three times in our life. That's why women find it quite difficult sometimes to understand what their colouring is now, because they harp back to what they were like as a teenager or pre-pregnancy, and they find it quite difficult to visualise the changes in their colouring.
Wow. So what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that women are making in relation to how they dress? I'm going to focus on women because obviously it's Just Women programme, but yeah, what do you think some of the biggest mistakes are?
I think women sometimes feel that they need to be trapped in black, because it's a beautiful neutral, but it's also a very dark neutral that can make some women look a bit washed out. So you need to be a bit more savvy how you wear it near your face. It's also a colour that women associate with being a slimming colour. So if they're carrying a bit of extra weight, they feel they need to hide behind black. Wearing black means that they're playing it safe. So if they don't want to stand out in the crowd, they tend to gravitate to black. But not just black, it could be other neutral colours. So when women aren't sure what colours suit them best, one of the mistakes or common things they do is they just stick to a very paired back small palette of neutrals like cream, camel, greys, navies, blacks, which are great. It's important to have those, but those have to be balanced and tempered with some exciting pop of vibrant colours too. So it's about balance.
Wow. So let's get into what you can provide now, Anita. So what are some of the services that you offer women? I know you've got a variety on your website.
Oh, thank you. Well, any woman's personal styling journey starts with colour. So there's five main pillars of getting yourself looking fabulous and feeling good every day. Number one starts with cover. Colour. So I do colour analysis. Number two is understanding your body scale, body shape, scale and proportions. Number three is understanding your style personality. Are you more classic? Do you want to be dramatic? Do you want to be androgynous? Number four is about being on trend, being current and not having a look that's dated. And then number five is about dressing in the most appropriate way for your lifestyle, work, rest and play. So all of those five pillars I cover in my personal styling services. And there's something for every budget. So I sometimes run workshops. I can do consultations online or one-to-one in my studio in New Malden.
Do you ever get some women coming to see you, Anita, that maybe love dressing in the bodycon dress, the tight-fitting dresses, and then they see you and you say, well, actually, you know, your style could be more with the A-line skirt, et cetera. And that's quite hard to sort of accept. Does that happen when you're completely changing their style in terms of what they're wearing?
Yeah, I mean, holy moly, it does happen, because we can be stuck in a bit of a time warp. But do you know what? If a bodycon dress isn't the most flattering shape for a client, it's my job. It's my obligation to that client to be honest, but in the most gentlest, kindest way, because people are coming to me for confidence boost. So the last thing I wanted to do is make them feel worse about themselves. But sometimes it's just educating them to see themselves as well, that they have moved on body shape wise or colouring wise, and how they will actually look better if they move on.
Yeah. And something that I found interesting was reading one of your blogs. It said that you said that research demonstrates that you can tell a lot about someone's personality, politics, status, age and income just from looking at the way they dress for work, in particular in their choice of accessories, such as shoes. So what do you mean when you say that? Do you mean that we should all be rocking up in Louboutins, or what do you mean?
Oh, well, do you know, one thing lockdown has proved, that women don't actually want to go back to wearing stilettos anymore. So basically by that, I mean different types of shoes can illustrate different types of style personalities. So for instance, if you like wearing brogues or loafers, that could indicate you're a little bit more classic. You could be a little bit more androgynous. If you want to wear animal print, leopard print, stilettos, that could mean that you want to be a little bit more dramatic with your accessories, and you know, your shoes could be your signature style. If you are someone who wants to wear trainers with something very smart and formal, fabulous. That means comfort is key, and you're more of a natural style personality. So there is no right or wrong, Ivana. That's very important to stress. There are 11 different types of style personality and thousands of different types of shoes you can wear. So it's about what sits very well with you and what makes you feel confident.
Yeah, that makes such a lot of sense. And I think sometimes, Anita, women might avoid having their colours done because they feel that they'll have to totally revamp their wardrobe. But that's not necessarily the case, is it? You could have a capsule wardrobe, couldn't you?
Yes, I mean, more often than not, it's not about somebody coming in and telling you, these are your colours, chuck everything out that isn't on your palette. Because if you understand colour like I do, I can show the client very savvy ways of wearing colours that are in their wardrobe that may not be quite right, i.e. for instance, with the addition of a scarf, by wearing it with a different colour combo, by adding a neutral in with it, or wearing it in a very different way. So it's not about throwing the baby out with a ditch water. It's not about that. It's about making the colours you've got work for you.
Yeah. So you don't get, for example, if you go around to someone's house as one of your services that you provide, I know that you do that, you don't get women where you say, right, that's got to go, that's got to go, that's got to go, and that's going to go in a bag, and then you start to take it downstairs and they're clinging to your legs as you're exiting the door. Please don't take it away. That doesn't happen, obviously, because you've convinced them that it's for their better good that these things are going.
Yeah, and the fact that they've got me round is because they know that they have a sentimental attachment, or they may be hoarders. So they need an objective, fresh pair of eyes to help them. Otherwise, Ivana, they wouldn't invite me around. But to be honest, when I sort out people's wardrobes, we sort of put things into three piles. If it's absolutely wrong for colour and shape, it's got to go. Pile two would be, does it work if we put it with a different colour? Can we alter it in any way? How can we make it work? And if there's any sort of inkling of hope, we keep it. And then pile three would be absolutely spot on, shamazing in that colour and style, that stays.
Wouldn't it be great to think that you come around to my house and all of those would come into that third category? But sadly, I think they'd probably go into the first category, most of my things.
I'm sure they don't, because I think sometimes women can be very hypercritical about what they've got, but just fresh eyes help.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you also do home styling as well, don't you? Not just styling for women, but tell us about that.
I do. I'm fortunate enough to be married to an architect. So with his technical skills and my creative skills, we have done 8 projects together. And, you know, home styling is just an extension of what I do, because the trends that you see in fashion with styling, with fabrics, with textures, with colour, are inextricably linked and have a lot of synergy with homeware trends. So, yes, I do some home styling for clients, and I've just finished a massive project in Cheltenham, which I'm about to photograph for the client and I'll load up on my website. So yeah, I love home styling. Anything to do with colour, fabric, texture, fashion, trends. Oh, love it.
Yeah. I mean, your passion comes across in how you speak and you're, you know, obviously this is going to be an audio, but you do, even your voice, it comes across how passionate you are about what you do. That's great when people feel like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I've had, you know, in the last, gosh, I don't know, I'm 51, the last 51 years, you know, it's been tough. I've had ups and downs and I know what women go through. And my job is just the best job in the world because I make women feel better about themselves. And it could be just the smallest thing, like the right type of makeup or wearing the killer blouse or whatever it might be. So, yeah, I'm here to help women.
That's great. One final question before we get to the really final question, so penultimate question. If you could talk to a younger you, Anita, what would you say to her?
I would say be more comfortable in your skin and ignore what anybody says, any negative energy that you may get. Just trust your instincts because you know what? 9 out of 10 times, they're right. So wear what you love, because if you wear what you love, you stand taller, you're more likely to make more eye contact and you're more likely to get yourself out there.
Fantastic. Well, sadly, Anita, we've reached the end of the interview. I could talk to you all day about this sort of thing because it's right up my street.
Might need to do part two sometime.
That would be great. If you could offer ladies out there just one piece of advice, what would that be?
Wear colour.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. So if listeners would like to get in contact with you, what's your email address, Anita?
Email address is anita@farronclarkstyle.com. I do a lot on Instagram if you want to see me in action. And my Instagram handle is farronclarkstyle.
Brilliant. And what's your website address?
www.farronclarkstyle.com.
Thank you so much. That was Anita Farron-Clark from farronclarkstyle.com with some great advice for women looking to enhance their personal style. What an interesting lady, and what a difference wearing colours and styles that suit you can make. So we'd like to thank all our guests today on Just Women. That's Kathy Knight, HR consultant and recruitment agent from ismepeople.co.uk. Anna Tompkins, author of Handbook for Today and Handbook for Getting Hitched, website handbookfortoday.com. And Anita Farron-Clark from farronclarkstyle.com. And a special thanks to my other presenter, Jackie Mitchell. And a reminder, as always, that we're keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone you think would be ideal for our show or you'd like to come on, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them and hopefully get them or you on a future show. Details of past and future guests are on our website. That's brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook too, @justwomen.br and Twitter @Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening. Join us again next week for Just Women, 1 o'clock on Tuesday, repeated 8 o'clock on Thursday. Until then, it's goodbye from the Just Women team.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.